The Sports Addict Radio Network proudly presents The Jerry Miller Show.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
Opinions and information for the Wahoo and Hokie Nations.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
You can reach the program by calling 866-356-ESPN.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
Or you can email the show at jerry@cvasports.com.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, here's your host, Jerry Miller.
Show me the money!
I'll tell you what, it is a pleasure to be here and offer this product. It's the Jerry Miller Show. It's the best in sports talk radio. We are syndicated in 3 states through 5 affiliates. Thanks to the gentlemen at Fork Union Military Academy. Success stories begin here at Fork Union Military Academy. Before we get to Associate Editor Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com, we'll get some word out about our television show. The Jerry Miller Show hits television in December, Saturdays at noon. We recap anything football, basketball related. Saturdays at noon, the Jerry Miller Show hits the boob tube, and it's Tuesday, and it's the top of hour two. So that means CC, Chris Coleman, the Associate Editor of TechSideline.com. Mr. Coleman, good afternoon, sir.
How's it going, sir?
It's going very well. I'll tell you what, we had a lot of fun in hour one. Let me throw a question that came up in headlines. Muzzling the Virginia Tech football team, Randy King addressed this in the Roanoke Times. Is this to potentially quiet a growing rift between the offense and defense?
Yeah, you know, that could partially be it. You know, Pernell Sturtevant obviously made some comments that I'm sure he wished he hadn't made last week. And, you know, when you've got a game like this coming up, you know, also you want to put your most responsible players behind the microphone when it's in rivalry week. You don't want a guy stepping up and saying disparaging things about UVA and get those guys fired up even more than they're going to be fired up. So, you know, I think it's a pretty smart move from that standpoint. You know, Danny Cole and Ryan Martin are very low key, very responsible guys. I don't think won't have any trouble for either one of those guys.
You have a very good feel, Chris, of how news works. By Beamer saying, look, there's only two guys available to the media, didn't Frank Beamer create a news story by making that call?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think some writers were complaining that it was going to give them nothing to write about. But on the other hand, it actually gave them something to write about, you know, because, I mean, this is, you know, it doesn't happen a lot around Virginia Tech. They've slowly, over the last year or so, closed practice more so than it has been in the past. But still, you know, it's a very accessible program compared to most, you know, especially, you know, you look at the other in-state program, Virginia, you know, that they've always locked down the media and interviews, you know, fairly tightly up there, I believe. But it's always been completely open in Virginia Tech. Also, I think, you know, the more criticism the offense takes, you know, the less inclined Beamer is to be nice to the media. I think that's a pretty good way to put it.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, the associate editor, joins us on Tuesday's top of hour two on the Jerry Miller Show, and he's a smart man. Two questions left on this topic. With the benefit of hindsight, and things are always easier in hindsight, Chris, why not, if you're Frank Beamer, send 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys, make it the responsible seniors that you know you can trust, that you know will say the right thing, send those guys out there. Basically, what you're doing is you're still muzzling the team, but you're deceiving or almost hoaxing the media by sending 7 or 8 reliable guys out.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of surprised. You know, I was not surprised, you know, about locking down practice and everything like that. And, you know, but only two guys, that is very surprising. And one of those guys is a freshman. Danny Cole's a redshirt freshman. So I was surprised by that. Or Ryan Martin would actually be my top choice to talk to the media. And, you know, that's one of the guys he picked. But, you know, guys like Brett Warren, you know, he's a pretty low-key guy. And, you know, I kind of thought Pernell Sturtevant was until last week. I think he was kind of baited a little bit, but at the same time, he said it. So I doubt you'll see him in front of a microphone for the rest of the year.
Guys, I was a sports writer for 4 years at the Charlottesville Daily Progress, the last two as an editor. I know how difficult it is to fill a 20-inch slot, and beat writers are required to fill about 20, 25 inches of copy daily, and how difficult it is to fill 20 inches without quotes from players. I understand the frustration from the writers. Smart man on the hotline, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. I'm the associate editor. Mr. Coleman, assess the game against Duke. Clearly 14 points scored and 7 were on a pick 6. What were your impressions from that contest?
Well, my impressions were, if you look at total yards, it was actually, I believe, Virginia Tech's third best offensive output of the season, if you can believe it. But, you know, 5 turnovers and I think 6 possessions in the first half or something like that. And, you know, that's just not going to get it done, obviously. you know, it was just a sloppy game offensively for Tech. You know, they did get Darren Evans going on the ground, and I think that's a good thing heading into this week's game. But, you know, you've just got to get more production from the passing game. You can't afford to turn the football over against a team like UVA. You know, Duke was not going to do anything offensively against Virginia Tech's defense without Thad Lewis in there. And I thought it was a really good game plan that David Cutcliffe came up with. You know, they just ran Zach Asak a whole lot. They didn't ask him to pass it much until late in the game because, you know, that's not a good thing to do, throwing the ball into the teeth of the Tech defense. And obviously their plan was, you know, let's don't turn the ball over. Let's keep this game close into the fourth quarter. And because we don't think Virginia Tech's offense is going to be able to move the ball on us very well, and let's hope they make a mistake in the fourth quarter and it gives us a chance to win. You know, it was a good plan. Didn't quite work out, obviously, the way they wanted, but I think that was pretty much the best they could do when they were so limited at the quarterback position.
I agree 100% with what you just said. I was very impressed with Cutcliffe's game plan going in. He took mistakes out of the equation. He shortened the game by running the football with Asak. I was impressed. I'm going to throw this question to you. The offensive line has caught significant heat and has caught significant negative criticism, but at the same time, Darren Evans, 24 carries for 111 yards. That's 4.6 a tote. The team had 47 carries for 187, 4 yards a carry. How can the offensive line be catching so much criticism, Mr. Coleman, if the running game has success like this against Duke?
Well, you know, I think it's just inconsistent. You know, I mean, everybody watched Georgia Tech just flatten Miami a week after Virginia Tech was just dominated in the trenches, you know, by the Hurricanes. And I think it's that inconsistency. You know, you go back early in the season to the Georgia Tech game. Georgia Tech has an excellent defensive line, but Virginia Tech was able to control the line of scrimmage, and Darren Evans had over 90 yards rushing against, you know, Michael Johnson and that crowd. I mean, that's a very good defensive line. But then you come out, you know, against Furman or Western Kentucky or anybody else, and just can't block anybody. Plus, it's still pass blocking. You know, Virginia Tech's 115th in the nation in sacks allowed. And, you know, that's just inexcusable.
Chris Coleman brings the A-plus stuff, guys. Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com, the associate editor. We read TechSideline.com daily to prepare for this program. Mr. Coleman, let me throw it to you then. Virginia's got a Clint Sidham. They got a Matt Conrath. They got an Antonio Appleby. They do have some playmakers in that front seven. It clearly looks like the Virginia Tech offensive line versus the Virginia front seven is going to be a critical matchup in this game, in particular if it's a low-scoring affair, Mr. Coleman.
I agree 100%. You know, I'm having nightmares about seeing Sinem coming off that edge. I know Virginia Tech wanted him really bad about the as a defensive end. So, you know, UVA's definitely got playmakers in the front seven. They've got more overall speed in their defense this year than I think they did last year. And, you know, Virginia Tech obviously doesn't have the playmakers at wide receiver this year that they had a year ago with Eddie Royal and Josh Morgan and Justin Harper and that group. So, you know, I think it's a better matchup for UVA this year with their defense matching up against Tech's offense. I still don't think Mike Rowe's going to be able to get much done against Bud Foster, but at the same time, you know, I'm going to pick Virginia Tech to win the game, but, you know, I'm not as confident as I normally would be against a UVA team who's lost three in a row and is coming off a game where they only scored 3 points at home. You know, I mean, normally I would be picking the Hokies in a blowout win, but when you've got the 109th ranked offense in the country, you're not going to blow out anybody.
There's a lot of truth to that, guys. I mean, on paper, it looks like it's going to be a close ball game. Virginia Tech's defense is the real deal. 8th ranked defense in the nation. Virginia's defense is pretty good, too, and with these offenses struggling to move the football, it's going to be the defenses that win the football game. If Mark Verica throws interceptions like he did against Clemson, like he's done against Miami, Virginia Tech has got the defensive backs, and Macho Harris proved it last week, who can take it to the house for the pick six. Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. We've had fun with the name of the rivalry, the Commonwealth Cup, and the sentiment we're hearing from many Virginia Tech fans is, this isn't even our biggest rival right now. It's West Virginia or it's Maryland. And I'll tell you what, when Al Groh is 1-6, Mr. Coleman, against Frank Beamer, there might be a lot of truth to that. What do you make of that chitter-chatter?
You know, I think there's something to that. The Tech-West Virginia rivalry, you know, when both teams are good, and especially, you know, when the Hokies were going, they were in their first couple of years in the ACC, and West Virginia just hated Virginia Tech when the Hokies left the Big East. I mean, it just got ramped up even more, and we've stopped playing that series, but that would be an ugly one if it was still being played. You know, I think I've said this to you before, a team that's really starting to bother me is Boston College.
Yep.
And the Hokies might get another shot at them here in a couple of weeks if they can beat Virginia on Saturday. But you know, they're just beating Virginia Tech too much for my liking at this point right now. So I'm kind of starting to dislike that group up there on Chestnut Hill.
See, let me throw this to you. And I look at this team, Virginia Tech, and we've gone through all the attrition. We talked about Brandon Orr, the graduation of the wide receivers, all the players defensively, Ellis, Hall, Adebe, Flowers immediately off the top of the head. I mean, if Beamer wins this game, and if Beamer gets to Tampa, and if Beamer and Virginia Tech somehow win the ACC championship, doesn't this go down as one of Beamer's best coaching seasons ever?
I guess on paper it would, but, you know, I look around the conference, and when you've got a really good defense like Virginia Tech and the rest of the conference, you know, to be blunt, is pretty bad offensively, you know, I really think, you know, if Virginia Tech had addressed their offensive problems over the last couple of years and they were better offensively, I mean, they would have dominated this conference this year. It wouldn't have really been close. You know, if let's just say Virginia Tech had the 70th or 80th ranked offense in the country, would they have lost a football game at this point?
That's
you know,
a good question.
Would they be? I mean, they've lost close football games to Florida State, you know, to East Carolina, to Boston College, and to Miami, and with a little better offensive production in each of those games, they would have won every one of them. You know, and I think it's a legitimate question, and not to say that Virginia Tech, you know, should be in the national title picture or anything like that. You know, that's ludicrous. But you know, with a little better offense, if Beamer had addressed that offense over the last couple of years, you know, I think we could be in a lot better position today than we are.
Mr. Coleman, 90 seconds left. Let me play devil's advocate with you. I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. At the same time, though, don't college football programs have rebuilding years? And if this is a rebuilding year offensively and for the program as a whole, doesn't it speak volumes of what the coaching staff, maybe outside of Steinspring, what they have done to put the team in this position?
I think it speaks a lot to the defensive coaching staff. You know, there's not much I can say about the offense anymore. They've been in rebuilding mode ever since 2006. You know, they lost a lot of talent off the 2005 team and lost three or four offensive coaches off that 2005 team. And they dropped back to 99th in offense in 2006. Then they were going to rebuild in 2007, and they dropped back to 100th. Then they were going to rebuild this year, and they dropped back to 109th. So they've been trying to rebuild for the last 3 years, and they've just been going backwards. So I'm not sure when that can turn around at this point without some changes being made.
Chris Coleman is smart, very smart man. CC Guys, the associate editor at TechSideline.com, joins us on Tuesdays to break down Virginia Tech. Mr. Coleman, enjoy Thanksgiving, and I'll tell you what, do some 12-ounce curling before that football game Saturday.
All right, buddy. You guys take care up there.
All right, Mr. Coleman. Solid guy. Give him some love, KQ, if possible. 866-356-ESPN. So solid. So solid. You catch Chris Coleman in Blacksburg at Champ Sports Bar, where he does a little 12-ounce curling with the best of them. CC, you're very impressive. We come back, guys, with headlines. We come back with open phone lines at 866-356-ESPN. New River Valley and Central Virginia. Miller's Minute coming up. Jerry Miller Show. It's the best in sports talk radio.